You went on until 92, and then you left.
Yes.
What happened there?
Basically, I struck up a very, very good friendship during my playing days with John Brain. You know, the late John Brain.
Yes.
You know, incredibly sad.
Yes.
An incredibly witty and intelligent human being. Always, you know, his wit during games, after whatever, was superb. And also with Rich Pascal, and they moved to Bedford the season before.
Right.
And they said to me in the close season, look, you know, we're going to go up there next year, do you want to come up? And it kind of, at that point, I was probably coming towards the end of my playing career. I probably could have carried on for another couple of seasons, but kind of decided to try something new. With the benefit of hindsight, it wasn't the best move we'd ever made. You know, I would say that the car trips up twice a week from Rich worked in Cheltenham at the Chelsea Building Society, and John and I used to go over there, pick him up or go up with him to Bedford. Awful journey. And then play. And it was interesting. I think in terms of rugby education, it is useful to play in different places. But clearly, you know, nothing like Gloucester, although obviously Bedford in the 70s and 80s were one of the top clubs.
So did you miss Gloucester, in fact?
Yes, yeah. Well, as I said, with the benefit of hindsight, it was a mistake to go. At that time, played for the county, and got a county cap, which again, you know, something I'm proud of. At that time, it wasn't the same as when, you know, Gloucestershire were the ascendant county power for however many years. You know, only ever losing to Lancashire and I think winning almost everything. But dislocated my shoulder in the semi-final against Yorkshire, and that was kind of the end of it. I carried on playing. We came back and joined Cheltenham the next season. But I must have cost Cheltenham probably about £30 or £40 a game in tape, in terms of trying to strap my shoulder in a way that it wouldn't dislocate. After three seasons, gave up with that because it was just it would come out of joint, you know, if I sneezed badly.
This may be a sensitive matter, but we're approaching the introduction of the professional era. It came a bit later after you retired.
Yeah.
When you're playing for Gloucester, there is talk and rumours about whether people had little money and,
I'm almost certain that nobody who ever played for Gloucester in the time I was here got paid. Occasionally a few of us went and played for the public school Wanderers in various places, and you know, whether or not any money changed hands there, I certainly remember one or two, Glenn Webb and a couple of other, a chap called Watkins from Newport, collecting some brown envelopes from somebody. But at that time, it was absolutely an amateur game. And, you know, I think we got £40 towards a pair of boots, which I always used to think was not great, because I wore Puma Kings at the time, and they were £79.99 at the time, so it bought me one boot. Obviously, there was free beer after the game. Shirts were difficult to come by.
Really?
There was end of season photograph session where the shirts came out, and at the end of that photograph session there were three shirts missing, I think Peter Ford got everybody together and said, either those three shirts come back in the next half an hour or there'll be no beer after the games next year. Shirts duly returned, but yes, it was very difficult
it was hand to mouth, really.
Difficult to. I mean, we were well looked after, but in terms of, was there any financial payment?
No,
not at all. And I don't think anybody expected it. Whether that happened in other clubs, you know, only those people
will know. I think we know it did.
Yeah, yes. quite probably. Yeah. But certainly, I no idea that you would be paid for Gloucester. And I don't think, as I said, you know, from a personal point of view, it was a huge privilege to play rugby here. And you know, I wouldn't have wanted.
And was there any sort of formal coach at the end of your days here?
Yeah, Keith Richardson was coach certainly for I think three seasons towards the end, and you know, very good coach. I think we always had a coach, but I couldn't name them. But certainly Keith. Yeah, Keith was a good coach and you know did try I think to develop the rugby yeah. into you know into a perhaps a more modern type
more
game.
Expensive.
Having said that, you know, played in the game at Bristol where Malcolm Preedy dropped a goal, you know, to the absolute consternation of all the forwards on the pitch. But yeah, again, Malcolm I think was a player before his time. You know, he was a prop forward who could run, who could handle, who could sidestep, who could dummy. And drop goal, you know, and it wasn't just about the scrummaging. You know, he was a very, very talented player.
And I suspect he'd watched Mike Burton.
Quite probably.
A similar.
Yeah.
Player.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of your period here, the record suggests that Gloucester went on tour to Vancouver. Did you go on that trip? That's said to be your last game, according to the record for Gloucester. 25th of May 1992. There was a summer tour.
No, I didn't go on that. Because I thought I finished at the end of 91.
Okay. We've got your record saying that you played 14 games in 91 to 92.
Right.
I'm just trying to get a feel for this.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of trying to.
I'd always worked on the idea. I played around about 140 games in the first team and scored 690 points. You know that, but that was just anecdote. Mm. Terry Haynes, who was the citizen sports journalist for quite some time, mm-hmm. you know, would kind of at the end of the season give you a kind of update.
Yes.
And you know, he was a very nice chap. Again, one kind of anecdote. I remember we played against Moseley. Again, you know how times have changed. You know, Moseley were one of the top clubs that had won the John Player Cup. We played against Moseley, and I caught the ball under my own posts and then took the mark too quickly when there was somebody in front of me. Gave away a scrum, and we lost the scrum. They scored, and I think we lost the game. And I remember naively talking to Terry Haynes after going back to that was my fault. The next day the headline in the City was Marmont's fault the game was so again valuable learning experience
was the shared significance in your playing days
the whole ground was just an incredible experience, particularly you know having played at Saracens. You know that was a bit of a one man and his dog. To come to Gloucester and to play fixtures against, you know, the Welsh sides of Bristol, Bath at that time, who were Leicester, who were the top sides, but to play at Kingsham, I think is something that if you've had the privilege of doing it, you are very, very lucky as a sportsman in any sporting field, and I do think that the fans of the Shed were quite good to me.
Okay.
You know, in my periods of not kicking as many goals as you know as I would like to have done, you know, they didn't give me huge amounts of stick. There were some very acerbic comments about what I couldn't do at times, but you know, that's part of it.
I spoke to James Simpson Daniel a month or so ago about whether the Shed was actually a benefit or a problem for Gloucester players, and he explained in his recollection that. At the time when there were local boys playing for Gloucester, they saw the Shed as a help and a support. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, players have come in and see it as a bit of a threat because the expectation is high.
Absolutely.
Is that something that psychologically you were aware of?
I think again, you know, to run out on the field and you know to get the response from the crowd, again, is priceless. And to have that kind of support and, you know, at crucial moments in the game to have that volume of noise, you know, because at that time this was probably one of the biggest crowds, you know, particularly I think on a Wednesday when we played the top Welsh side, you know, the place would reportedly be, you know, 15,000 people crammed in. Gate receipts said there were 7,000 here, but hey, that's another story. I think from my point of view, it was a great uplifting experience at all times, and particularly you know when things went well, and also when you perhaps needed a bit of a lift.
Do you remember any other games that you played against other sides, in particular going down to the Welsh clubs? Was that an interesting experience?
I can remember playing at Neath and you know playing against Paul Thorburn, who kicked goals from 60 metres away. Pontypridd, a chap called Scarlett playing the second row for them. And I think Malcolm lost part of his ear. Bobby Folk got repeatedly kicked on the ground, but kept getting up and kept going back for more. And that, I think that's the time when you think as a back, well, I'm glad I'm in this side, perhaps rather than Saracens. But yeah, I mean, to win, I think we were the first team to win at Cardiff for some time. For some reason, there hadn't been that many fixtures between Gloucester and Cardiff for some time. The Bristol games, were from a personal point of view, but also I think at that time, you know, the Bristol, Bath, Gloucester, taking out Leicester, those were probably the four best sides in the country. Mm. And, you know, again, it was there's a passion about the fans at Bristol, Bath and at Leicester and here, you know, which obviously makes it, I think, probably as close as you're ever going to get to kind of, you know, the football ground capacity where you've got, you know, 15, 20,000 fans absolutely, you know, supporting their home team.
I expect going away, you had some interesting experiences on the way back.
Many times. I mean, we were at the Highwayman up above Birdlip, and the call went out. I think John Fiddler was the team manager at the time. Call went out to go and get on the bus. We were on our way, so you know, went out. Sat on the bus there for about 5 minutes. Nobody came out, and then all of a sudden, there was one of the prop forwards sat in the driving seat. And then the coach started up, and we went from there to the Birdlip roundabout and back again, because you know it was a fun thing to do. By the time we got back, John Fiddler had been liaising with the local constabulary about the fact that the bus hadn't actually been stolen and it was now back. there were one or two. I remember very, very close to being left behind in Cardiff with Damien Cummings, who was Welsh by heritage, and you know, we'd gone off somewhere and almost missing the bus on the way back.
Some
very good away trips. Yeah.